Welcome to Life, Passion and Business. My name is Paul Harvey. When I started this podcast, I was looking for answers. What does it mean to be successful? What does it mean to have a good, well-lived life? I've gained some answers in the last 5 or 6 months. But there's more to explore. This is my new weekly show that is co-hosted by Lisa Avery. It is part of a series of programs and a Facebook group where we'll be exploring, providing tools and support, and looking to find what those big life questions mean for us all. So welcome to Life, Passion and Business. And this is a Facebook Live recording that has been turned into a podcast. And that's the plan. If you want to catch these recordings live, you can. They will be on the Life, Passion and Business group and business page every week. Mm-hmm. Over the next few weeks, we'll be making these videos. And of course, they'll be about a week later, they will then end up as on the podcast. But I'm joined today with my co-host. I'm delighted to be with my co-host. And what is also nice about it is I can see her on this thing and she looks gorgeous today. So I'm with my co-host, Lisa Avery. Please welcome Lisa. Say hello and tell us a little bit about yourself. Because I know we've had this conversation before, but in case anyone's new, it'd be nice to hear about you.
Absolutely. Thanks, Paul. So, yeah, as you say, I'm Lisa Avery and I'm a positive psychologist and coach. And the reason we know each other is because I came on your wonderful podcast a few months ago now, I think.
And episode 9. Fabulous... You were episode 9.
Episode 9 was I? Okay, so I was episode 9. And from that moment, I guess we got this dialogue going about what it would look like to take people on this journey. And here we are on this journey. And so here we are going to talk about happiness, meaning, success, and really what we can do to get there and hopefully take people with us on our journey there.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And I've picked up your absolutely. It's interesting because Lisa has a tendency to say absolutely several times and it's very contagious, I can assure you. What has been fascinating about my journey in terms of the podcast is that as I've gone from 0 shows up to now, I recorded number 19 yesterday. As I recorded 19 yesterday, I've been into those patterns that are around. And what I've also realised is that while it eluded me for a while, finding meaning, finding passion doesn't just turn up. It's something that you have to put the effort in and work to. And why I was so keen to work and talk to Lisa about this was I realized is that all of my guests so far, with the exception of Shari yesterday, don't come with a toolkit. A lot of them discovered their process. Shari yesterday, she actually discovered the toolkit and she used the toolkit to herself. And now she's taken that toolkit out into the world. And she doesn't use positive psychology. She uses more of a coaching model. And if you haven't heard that podcast, you do, because she's a sassy New Yorker that kind of, anyway, you have to listen to the podcast to hear it. But, you know, that's what I discovered by listening to various people. There are tools. And I realize that you've got a big toolkit and it would be really interesting to explore that. So that's where we are. Anyway, today's topic, I think you said to me on prior to this, was happiness. And it's this big goal that we're all seeking happiness. You've got to be happy. I mean, it's even in the American Constitution, isn't it? Freedom, liberty and the pursuit of happiness.
Absolutely.
How many constitutions actually have that in there?
Absolutely.
So yeah, I've rambled. Yeah. I've rambled, Lisa. Come on. You lead for a bit because I'm busking too much.
Okay, brilliant. So what we were going to talk about then is the framework for happiness, because I think, you know, if we have this destination in mind, we're thinking about getting to this place, which is a sense of happiness, a sense of meaning and some kind of success, whatever that means to us. And we're going to talk about that, you know, as we proceed. If we're going to think about happiness, meaning and success, we really need to think of some kind of framework to think about this, you know, because these are very big, open, general words. And I think the beauty of positive psychology, it gives us a brilliant way to think about this. And this is with the acronym PERMA, P-E-R-M-A. Now the P, it's for positive emotions. The E is for engagement, R, relationships, M, meaning, and A, achievement or accomplishment. Where would you like to begin, Paul? Shall we begin with the P for Paul?
Well, I guess we're going to have to begin at the beginning.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
What is the first? I mean, they've gone straight out of my head, to be really honest, Lisa. So you better
so
lead me
probably
on that one.
Everybody else is listening too, Paul, so that's fine. So the P is for positive emotions. So, you know, for a happy life, this is what people typically think of when they think of happiness. They think of the hee hee ha ha. And while the hee hee ha ha is really important, you know, the other elements are very important too. Now, in order to create this happiness, this kind of pleasure, which are the positive emotions, usually people are pretty good at knowing how to do this. So this is typically what we think about when we think about the hedonic kind of happiness. So it's going out, it's the seeking pleasure, it's the eating good food, it's the getting tipsy, it's the, you know, just having fun. And people are generally very good at this. But what people don't always consider is the fact that positive emotions actually encompass a much wider array of emotions. So, you know, people think about happiness, but they don't think about joy. They don't think about serenity. They don't think about curiosity. You know, there is this whole wide range of positive emotions that we're able to tap into.
And I put my hand up. I put my hand up, Miss, because you could, I you can go, and I kind of have to kind of go.
Go.
Hang on a minute. I want to come in here. I want to come in here. So,
okay. So
look. Okay, I understand what you're saying about this positive emotions, but for happiness. But you know, it's like there's this range. It's like this kind of I guess they go up in terms of intensity for what I'm thinking about, because it's like.
Yes.
I'm sitting here now and
I'm
not ravingly, hey, 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 happy, but I'm very, very content being here. And time will pass relatively quickly while we have this conversation because I'm happy. Or what is it? I couldn't actually, if you asked me what it was, I wouldn't tell you it was happiness.
No, because I don't think it is happiness necessarily, Paul. I actually think this taps into the next part. So this leads us very nicely into the next section, which is the E for engagement. Because I think what you're describing could more accurately be known as flow, you know, the state of flow. And that is when we're so engaged in what we're doing, we lose all sense of time, which I guess, Paul, right now, you're pretty engaged in this conversation, or at least you're doing a good job of pretending. And so,
yeah,
you
I'm
know,
good at pretending. No, sorry, no, I'm not pretending at all. I am definitely engaged in the conversation. I guess it's also what occurs to me on that one is thinking about those periods in time when you are totally engaged. It's like, it's been a while now, but being on a first date with someone, you know, and you're sitting there staring lovingly into their eyes or chatting, like, and the evening just goes like that before you know it, it's gone. You're like, where did that evening go? How come to you? It's like, that occurs to me. That's one which is real in a way.
Absolutely. I mean, that's a brilliant example of, you know, really, really enjoying and savoring the moment, you know, but at the same time, flow, this sense of flow, it's all about finding something really that you love doing and that you're quite good at doing, because usually the two things go hand in hand. And you see, the idea of this, it's when you're in flow, you're doing something you're good at, but you're doing something that's neither too easy nor too difficult. So there's a certain level of challenge. You know, the idea is that the level of challenge and your ability meet in an optimal way.
So
so
what's
this
flow
is
for
about
you? What's flow for you?
I think flow for me is anything really using positive psychology, coaching, writing, sort of really having to find the words carefully that I'm about to use. I get, you know, very wrapped up in language, and obviously in, you know, empowering other human beings. That to me is the ultimate flow. What's flow look like for you, Paul, besides having a chat with me?
Oh, well, there you go. Cooking, I guess. Cooking is one of my big places of flow, because, like, you know, wife will come in and say, "Oh, I'm hungry. How long is dinner?" Because I do all the cooking. So how long is dinner? And I go, "Oh, half an hour." And an hour has gone by. You said half an hour. I says, "Yeah, I kind of changed plan halfway through, but you know, it's on the way." You know, and normally, I guess, depending on how that is, but the flow of that time of me cooking, I don't have any perception of time. And my son will say to me, "Oh, well, how long is dinner?" I go, 15 minutes. He said, "You said that 15 minutes ago." He said, "Did I? Oh, yeah, I did, didn't I?"
But that's it, Paul. That's exactly what you describe. It's this sense of time going by and you're completely blissfully unaware. And that is the fabulous thing about flow. And that's why I feel very passionately about helping people to find what is their flow. It's not everything, but it's something that, is very enjoyable. It's you might not feel like you're enjoying it at the time because you're not really even aware of time or what you're doing. You're so much involved, but afterwards you'll feel like, yeah, that was good. That was enjoyable. You feel
So
like
we
it's
are
very
getting
much.
very engaged in this. We are getting very engaged in this conversation, and we've got a few more letters to go. So what does the R stand for?
Sure. So the R. Arguably, the R is the most important of all, because this is relationships. And human beings, if we are anything, we're social creatures. And perhaps the biggest predictor of any kind of happiness, meaning, and well-being, it comes down to relationships. So, we don't need a massive amount of people in our life, but what we do need are a few good, really healthy, solid relationships that we're able to nurture.
Okay. So you're going to say more
Can
about
you?
how that fits for you? How does that fit for you?
How does that fit for me? So both personally and professionally, I guess this is really important. You see, for me, my work and my life and my vocation, my passion, all of these things are very entwined. I don't really separate like most people do. And so, every kind of relationship I have, I guess it's the same level of intensity, the same level of passion invested in it. So I guess for me, I'm probably a little bit strange, Paul, in that respect, because I don't have any kind of lines of separation. But then again, I think for people who love what they do, sometimes it's pretty hard to draw any line. Do you have a line there, Paul, would you say?
It's interesting that I kind of like I don't know. I don't think I do really. I think I'm the same
No.
with everybody. I don't think I'm any different than anybody. I don't really have any boundaries like that particularly. And I'm trying to think of how any strong relationship I guess we're quite a tight family unit here. There's my wife and my son, and we are very tight. And people have said to us in the past that you are very a complete family. People don't, there's not a lot of place to get in because we're so tight. So I think there is that. We kind of have that, I guess. And I have a very strong relationship with my brother, which is not a business relationship, of course. So there's that. And I guess I do have friends around, but there is no real boundary between work and friendship, I guess. You're probably right in that respect. But I think if there's one thing that I do miss, and that one thing that I have got to work on it over the next few years, is that relationship thing. Because I think I've allowed my relationship circle to get smaller. And I have a lot of online relationships more than actual real relationships. And I don't know if they're different. I mean, it's interesting you say this because this is an interesting point for me. And I don't know how relevant this is, but I'll explore anyway. I have never met Shari, the lady I spoke to yesterday, except she and I have been trolling each other for over a year, like, shitty comical, horrendous, rude comments to each other over Facebook for a year,
Amazing.
because that's the kind of thing that she does, we do. So it's like, it's been going on like that. So what is interesting is that we knew each other in a completely different way. And yet when we spoke yesterday, it was just like, it was just like having a conversation anyway, even though we've only been typing together. Yeah, I have seen her speak a few times, and she's probably seen me speak, but that was
Sure.
interesting in that.
Absolutely. And I mean, it sounds like you just have a real natural affinity to each other there, and that's beautiful. And the online world offers plenty of that. Paul, I've been really struck by the fact that on LinkedIn you can make some incredible connections, and I mean really rich and deep connections with like-minded people, and not only like-minded people very different to yourself. And I think it brings us to a really important point in that in this day and age, human relationships, we focus very much on our romantic partner, on our close family. Whereas a lot of research in positive psychology, in the last few years, it's been talking about micro moments of connection with any human being. And we really thrive on this, So just finding, in the supermarket, in the street, just giving a smile, just offering a little bit of love and connection to any person, it's very enriching for each and every person involved. I think our society, we've become too narrow in the way we think about love, but actually we can really extend this, and we can turn it to
Yeah,
the rest of the world.
My wife always points that to me whenever we go anywhere, like particularly shopping or that sort of stuff, or if we're in a restaurant or somewhere. If someone is surly or difficult, I kind of see it as a challenge to spin them.
Nice.
So I kind of she says, "You've done it again, haven't you?" And I'll ask them some sort of question to break them out of their place.
Yes.
You know, so
That's
and
beautiful.
it's like, and I just do it for, and it's almost like fun. Like, well, can I change the attitude? But what is really is that I actually get notice that it's important to me, and I notice that sometimes I've done this. Hey, Mags, nice to see you. Oh, hey, you like this video? Great, Mags, thanks. I'll reply to you in a minute, actually, Mags.
Oh, thank
Some
you to the
connection.
people who are
Yeah, you
sending lovely
have.
comments.
Yeah, we all have made good connections online. Yes, I appreciate that, and I guess too. Actually, I've met you online, Meg, so it's quite interesting as well. Actually, we did go to a Christmas dinner together, I think. Where was I? Got thrown by seeing a comment come up. Oh yes.
Oh, the challenge.
No, we're
So the
going to have to.
challenges.
No, I've definitely got thrown by seeing a comment come up. I'm going to have to kind of be careful with that one in future. All right. So where are we now? We've gone to relationships. What's the M stand for?
Yeah, the M stands for meaning, you know. So this is finding something that is personally meaningful to us. Paul, what's good? What?
Someone has said keep it clean, Lisa. Someone obviously knows you, Lisa. David Ralph has said keep it clean.
Oh, it's David. Hi, David. Yeah, we're going to try and keep it clean. No naughty F words today. Yeah, you see, the last time I told David that was a practice. I didn't realize anybody was listening. So I said the F word 3 times in about 3 minutes, which is quite a feat even for me. But no, we're keeping it very clean today, as you can hear. So
Very good, very
back to
good.
the M for meaning.
Back to the M thing. So, what does M stand for? How does that work?
Absolutely. So this is finding something that is personally or professionally meaningful to you. So, you know, whether this is something, I don't know, whether this is a religious thing, whether this is a work, this is a kind of work which you really love, a vocation, which is what we're really going to be talking about in this video series. Whatever it is, you know, it has to have some personal significance for you. Because at the end of the day, people want to feel like their lives have mattered, you know, that they've made some kind of contribution to the rest of the world, whatever that might look like for them. Where do you get your sense of meaning from, Paul?
Well, that's a good question, the meaning one, because that meaning one was why this podcast started. So, I mean, I originally, I mean, but a lot of people will know the story, but I'll repeat it because I'll probably repeat it every single podcast. My father died last February, and I had watched him release his life, or his life kind of ebb away, if you like, for the 5 years before. And that sense of him losing the meaning of what was there. Now, he lost the meaning 20 years before because his wife died, and he never really recovered from that process. So for him, the meaning was his wife. And I recognized that I didn't have a strong meaning. I think I'm still working on that one, Lisa. I don't think I have a strong why or a strong meaning. Yeah, there is a why, and I do thoroughly enjoy that idea of flipping people in conversations, that, you know, that change with people's perception of stuff. I do enjoy this kind of work, this kind of conversation. I do enjoy coaching with people. So there's meaning in there somewhere, but I think it's something that I need to uncover. So I guess that's something that we're going to explore down the road when we start getting into some of the meat on this journey about, you know, how do you explore meaning? How do you pull these things out of the bag? Because there's
Absolutely.
nothing worse than getting to the end of your life thinking to yourself, well, what the hell was that for?
Yeah, and I think sadly, Paul, it's something that's kind of quite common, you know, quite frequent, and I think that's really sad. And so much of the time, the fact is that people didn't never really take that time to explore who they really fundamentally were, stripping away all of the extrinsic, you know, all the external expectations of family, of society, and of life. So for me, you know, this journey, it's about really coming into ourselves, asking ourselves some of these deeper and more meaningful questions to then be able to find a way to entwine our innate strengths, talents, passions, and go out there and serve the world in that way. Therefore, we become a better version of ourselves, all the whilst empowering and making better other people's lives. And to me, there isn't anything else, That is the ultimate form of happiness, meaning, and success.
Put my hand up. What's your meaning?
They say the sign of a good coaching question, it's when the client has to pause before answering. So that's a good question there, Paul. So I would say, my ultimate sense of meaning, it's really to empower others with a deep sense of self-confidence, self-efficacy, because it's something that I struggled with for so long, self-confidence. And for that reason, I feel very, very, very passionately about people getting to that point where they do feel good about themselves. So, if I'm able to help people on that journey, because once you get to a point where you feel really good about yourself and really sure about who you are, the rest comes so very easily, Well, not easily, but it's so much easier.
Someone's just giving you a load of hearts. I don't know if you noticed that. A load
Oh,
of
I
hearts
didn't
popping
notice
up the
that.
screen.
But thank you. Thank you for all the virtual love there, whoever that's coming
Okay,
from.
we're on meaning, and obviously that's something that's a big question, meaning. And I think it's something that is actually, I think it's a massive question for society as a whole, because I think a lot of what goes on in society is so bloody hollow. And I imagine people are desperately looking for that conversation, between getting drunk and
Absolutely.
watching Netflix, because it's like, yeah, it's like, doing those kind of things gets us out of those conversations. So I'm looking forward to that one, Lisa. I think that's going to be an interesting journey. So the last letter, unless you've got anything more to say on meaning today, because I think this is just an overview today. We're going to put a
This is
lot more time
yeah.
into these things. So
I
what
do
is
think,
A? What
Paul.
is the Go on.
Okay. No, that's fine. That's fine. A. So A is for achievement or accomplishment. So this is about really, completing meaningful goals, personally meaningful goals. Yet so much research recently has pointed to the fact that whilst goals may be important, the most important thing is not the achievement of goals, if not a continual sense of progress, And the humanistic psychologists from the 1960s sort of really knew about this a long time before, What it's really about is feeling like you're constantly growing and evolving as a human being. Shall I tell you why that's more important than achieving a goal, Paul?
Yeah, of course, why?
Absolutely. In theory, it's more important than achieving a goal because there's this thing in psychology called hedonic adaptation. And what it means, really simply, is that no matter what happens to us in life, however good or bad, there's always going to be a moment when we come back to our original state, So that means that completing any single goal, great, it might give you a temporary high, but ultimately you're going to come back to just about where you were before in terms of well-being and happiness. So instead, rather than striving for goal after goal after goal, you've got to look to continually improve in every aspect of your life.
Okay. And is that why you can't recapture past kind of glory from doing the same thing?
I think, yeah, it's a brilliant point. I think it is very difficult to recapture that sort of past excitement and glory because we get used to it, We just kind of interweave this within the narrative of our lives and it just becomes, what happened? It just becomes our story.
It's
And
interesting,
whilst
like I can. It's interesting. I can think of we moved here 14 years ago, and it was a massive change and a break for both of us, for all of us, really. Well, my son was only 2 at the time, but for my wife and I, it was a great adventure. We had both left. Well, my wife had left work anyway because we had our son, and she had the kind of it was before she he was 2, so she was going to go back to work about a year later. And we came to Inverness, that's where we moved to from London. And I had given up a job that I'd had for years. And so we arrived here in this area. We had a house, this house, it needed a lot of work. And we arrived with fat checks. So we had no worry about money because we'd sold a London home and we came here. And there was a real sense of adventure and purpose and opportunity. And I remember walking around Inverness and rediscovering shops and buying, sort of bits and pieces for this house and stuff like that. It was a really exciting time.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I can go back to Inverness and walk down those same roads and they mean nothing nowadays.
That's really interesting. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's always that bit of nostalgia. I think you can often capture when you go back into memory. You know, there are those really beautiful emotive moments that are always going to sort of give you that beautiful opportunity to reminisce. But at the same time, you know, I guess the key in life, Paul, it's kind of, you know, taking the past positives and really, you know, interweaving them into the fabric of your life and your memory so that you can look back on a bad day and sort of feel that warmth from that reminiscing. At the same time, you take a bit of the past, then you become very mindfully aware of your present too, you know, so you learn how to notice things, how to be curious, how to really become mindfully aware and mindfully live in the present moment. And then at the same time, you think about the future, you know, and you think about future goals in terms of what you'd like to achieve, in terms of creating a vision. More than goals, you create this vision. So the idea is it's really to try to harness the power of the past, the present and the future, and really reconcile them and bring them into one so that you're able to live your very best possible life.
There's going to be a big question for me when we get there about goals and goal setting, because I think there's a lot around that in terms of you should have a goal, and for some people that old whole idea of actually setting a goal doesn't actually work for them. But I think I'm going to draw our line there. So that's PERMA. We've done PERMA today. I don't think we need to go any further. I don't want to open the box because we could open the box and start talking. So let's just close the box and we'll talk about it another day. So what's our next conversation going to be about? Do you have any thoughts on that yet?
Yes, we're going to be talking about the process of change and transition, you know, because this is something that people really struggle with. So many people, they want to stay glued to the status quo, you know, to their lives as they are. And this is the biggest, I think, the biggest obstacle, like really embracing change and thinking about what change actually means. So, yeah, our next conversation, we're going to get very comfortable with change and the idea of evolution.
Okay. I look forward to it. I look forward to it. So thank you very much, Lisa, for our conversation this morning. This conversation will be live on the podcast very shortly. I'm not sure the time frames or this at the moment. We're still working it out. And these conversations will always be live on my profile and in the group that we have. And at the moment, we haven't decided on a schedule for that. And part of the reason of that one is that we are having awful communication problems between here and Barcelona, because my lovely friend here lives in a beautiful place. But a beautiful place with very limited Wi-Fi. So that's where we're having to kind of explore that. We're having to explore that one. So anyway, thanks, Lisa. And I will sign off from there and have a great day.
Thank you. Have a great day yourself, Paul, and to anybody who's watching. So thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks for your lovely comments, guys. All the best.
Thank you. Bye.
And that was Life, Passion and Business. If you are intrigued by the possibility of discovering the answers to those meaningful life questions, then join us on the Facebook group Life, Passion and Business. You can find the links on the website lifepassionandbusiness.com or do a Facebook search. These shows will be recorded a week in advance on that group using the Facebook Live system. So join us and be ahead of the curve, ask questions and be part of the journey. I hope you decide to come and join us live on that Facebook group. But in the meantime, I want to thank you for listening and I will catch you later.